And so last week we had the schus to give a gdama share on Pirkei Avos, an introductory share on Pirkei Avos, and understand how chashuv, how important this beautiful sefer is, and how we finally could begin together and learn so much from the beautiful words of the Tanaim. So I have the sheets in front of you. You can look inside. Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. So Pirkei Avos begins. Moshe Kibel, very famous Mishnah. But the truth is, we say it's a famous Mishnah. Almost every Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is famous. So we'll be saying that very, very often. Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe accepted the Torah from Sinai, Masara le Yeshua, and he gave it over to Yeshua. Yeshua is the Zakenim, and Yeshua gave it over to the Zakenim, the elders of Klal Yisrael, the Tzadikim. It was Zakenim le Neviim, and Zakenim gave them over to the Neviim, to the prophets. The Neviim Masru l'Anshe Knesset Gedola. Neviim gave over the Torah. Again, these were all the leaders of Klal Yisrael, obviously members of Klal Yisrael as well, was learning the Torah, but these were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Eventually, the Anshe Knesset Gedola, which was a group of 120 Tzadikim, many of them very famous, Mordechai, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nehemiah. And that's the final step in the Masorah at the beginning of this Mishnah, which we'll get back to in a moment. Let's just read through the Mishnah. And the Mishnah continues, Heim Amru Shlosha Dvarim. They, the Anshe Knesset Gedola, said three things. Now, obviously, the Anshe Knesset Gedola said many more than three things. We'll have to discuss that in a moment. The three things were, Havei Mesuna Medin, you should be deliberate and thought out when making judgment. Vehamidu Talmidim Harbe, and you should stand up, you should have many students, everybody should have many students. Vasu Siyugl Torah, and you should make a fence for Torah. So just to first read through the Mishnah and have a global picture of the Mishnah we're going to discuss. There are so many questions and so much to discuss in this first Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. First and foremost, the whole beginning of the first Mishnah is very, very strange. Pirkei Avos, which is a sefer, Mishnayos, teaching us ethics and morals and a way of life, why beginning with a history lesson? Why is Pirkei Avos beginning with this whole history lesson of how the Torah was given over, Moshe accepted from Sinai, obviously from Hashem, and to Yeshua, and Zakenim, and Neviim, and Zekenim, like, what is that all about? Why is that the beginning of Pirkei Avos? So really, right away, Rabbi Vaj Bartanura explains an idea that we really spoke about last week. And hopefully we remember that we're going to be reading many ideas from Tzadikim, from Tanoim, tremendous advice in life, like we already have at the end of this Mishnah, three ideas we're reading. And one can wrongly say and think, these are just made up concepts. Yes, I have a Torah, I have Chumash, I have a Mesorah of what the 613 mitzvahs are, but these are just made up ideas. Where does this all come from? So the very beginning of Pirkei Avos starts with this Mesorah of how the Torah was given over generation to generation to remind us everything in this Sefer as well is Torah. And everything here is gleaned from the Torah. And is our ideas and ideals that the Tzadikim were able to see when they were learning Torah. And great Tzadikim are able to see that. Now, until this point in time, until the Anshe Knesset Gedola, the reason why these ideas were not put forth in this chibur of Pirkei Avos is because generation after generation were on such a level and a high level that they were all able to understand all this on their own from learning the Torah itself. And it was then that the Anshe Knesset Gedola understood through Yeridas Hadoros that there was a necessity to point out these messages which we might not be able to glean from the Torah. You know, there's a very big tzaddik, I'm not going to mention his name, but somebody that I know personally, I didn't hear this from him, but I heard it from someone who heard it from him. He's a very big tzaddik, a Talmid Chacham, very well known. A gadol hador in our generation. And he's mamish holding kol haTorah kula on his fingertips, one of the biggest poskim in the world. And he once was talking how he doesn't learn certain svarim, Sefer Machshava, Sefer Musar. So one of his Talmidim that I know well asked him, Rebbe, I don't understand, why don't you learn those svarim? And he explained, and he meant this with tremendous, he didn't mean this in any gaivetic way, he meant it just in a sincere, real way. He says, the MS is, I get it all from the Gemara itself. I get it all from the Torah itself. Meaning all the svarim that we learn, that we all need on our level, we all need it because we can't see it in the words of the Torah itself. But where are they all formed from? Where are they all written from? They're all based on the Torah. And here more, this is Torah Shebaal Peh itself. This is Mishnayos. But the Mishnayos wants to begin by telling us every concept we're going to learn together, every idea, it comes from Hashem. It comes from the Torah itself. These are just the tzaddikim that brought it to the exterior, that brought it to light so that we could learn it. And that's how the Mishnah begins. Now before moving on to understand the three concepts that are given over to us in this Mishnah, we have to ask another question, just on the first few words. What does it mean, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai? Moshe accepted the Torah from Sinai. What is Sinai? So you all know Har Sinai, right? Did Moshe accept the Torah from Har Sinai? That's where he happened to accept the Torah from, the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Meaning, shouldn't the Mishnah have been written and said, Moshe Kibel Torah me Hashem? Moshe Kibel Torah me HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai? The mountain gave him the Torah? Did Har Sinai give Moshe the Torah? So here all the Mepharshim explains similarly. We all know the famous Chazal. We all know about Har Sinai, right? We all know that why was the Torah given on Har Sinai? Of all the mountains that it could have been given on? Because Har Sinai, we know, was very small. And Har Sinai therefore represents humility, represents anivus. And in order to learn Torah properly, you have to have a lot of anivus, you have to have a lot of humility. You have to be willing to be mevatel yourself, you have to be willing to nullify yourself, to accept all that Hashem is asking you to do, and how we're supposed to be living our lives. It takes a lot of humility to be mekabel Torah. And then to learn from Rabbanim, to learn from rabbis, to learn from teachers, and to accept what they're telling you, it takes a lot of humility. To really truly delve into Torah and live a life of Torah, of the most important foundations of Torah is humility. Who was, as we know from the Torah, the most humble of individuals to ever live? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? What's the pasuk say? Anyone know? The Ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all individuals. That's what the pasuk tells us. So you know what the Mishnah is saying? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? Obviously he accepted it from Hashem. The Mishnah right away is teaching us, why was Moshe Zocher to be the one that received the Torah? Why was Moshe the one that was Zocher to go up to Shemayim and bring us the Torah? Misinai, from the Koyach of Sinai. Because he represented Sinai. He represented that humility. He had that anivus. So he's going to be the one that's going to bring down the Torah, because which is dependent upon anivus. In fact, there's a Gemara, in Tainus, and the Gemara says that we know that the Torah is compared to Mayim. The Torah is compared to water. Why is the Torah compared to water? So water always finds the lowest point. If you spill water somewhere, it's always going to trickle down. It's always going to go downward. Where are you going to have a flood in your house? You're going to have a flood in your house only in your basement. It might start on a different place, but it's always going to find its way to the basement. That's how water finds the lowest point. And the Torah is compared to water, tells us we ourselves have to be that with that same humility, with that same, in order to accept Torah as Moshe Rabbeinu was. By the way, just on a side note, humility doesn't mean we don't have a high self-esteem. People wrongly think humility means I should think lowly of myself, and the humility thinks I should think that I'm not so great, and I shouldn't think I have any abilities, and I shouldn't think that I have anything special about me. Chas v'shalom, that's sheker. Aniva's humility could be I understand all my incredible kochos, all my incredible abilities, all the incredible characteristics that Hashem has given me and that I've worked on and that I've achieved. But I don't think I'm better than anyone else because of it. And I know that it all comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I'm thankful to him every single moment. And I don't put myself above someone else because of my kochos. But I understand my kochos, and I live up to those kochos, and I feel good about those kochos. Just, I know they all come from Hashem, and I'm going to utilize them to serve Hashem. That's what anivus is. That's what humility is. So that's Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. We also have to understand, if we read clearly and closely this Mishnah, the textual makeup of the Mishnah seems very strange, right? Meaning the Mishnah is beginning by giving over the Mesorah, how Torah was given from Hashem to Moshe to Yoshua to the Zakenim to the Nevi'im to Anshei Knesset Gedolah. But the verbiage in each Mesorah is constantly changing. Why is that? Meaning, first it talks about Moshe being Mekabel Torah, accepting the Torah. So if everything should be kept even in the Mishnah, what would be the next step? V'Yeshua Mekabel Mimoshe, right? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, V'Yeshua Kibel Torah Mimoshe. That's what should have been said, but that's not what's said. It says, U'Mesorah L'Yeshua. Moshe accepted the Torah from Hashem at Har Sinai, and then he gave it over to Yeshua. And what comes after that? There's no word at all. It's V'Yeshua L'Zakenim. No Mesira, no giving over, no Kabbalah, no acceptance. And then again, Zakenim L'Levim. And then finally we find again, Nevi'im Masaru L'Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Then again we find the word Masaru. What's going on over here? Why did the author of the Mishnah write this in such a way? So I saw in the Ruach Chaim, the Ruach Chaim is Ruach Chaim V'Lajin, there's Pirush and Pirkei Avos. Explain something very beautiful. To be makabel, to accept, is to really gain everything that's been given to you. A Kabbalah is only if you're getting everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu all of the Torah that we have. Meaning he was Mekabel, he accepted all of it. Every piece of Torah. Chazal tells us he knew every Torah that we're even being Mechadish today. Every Torah that we're coming up with today, that might be a new beautiful Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was already, he was already Mekabel it. But Moshe Rabbeinu had that special connection to Hashem. You think Yeshua, we know, was only the student of Moshe Rabbeinu and was on a lower level than Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe therefore gave over the Torah to Yeshua, Yeshua, he got most of it, but there were parts that he wasn't Mekabel. There are parts that he didn't accept. So it's only Moshe Masrua, Umisarah Yeshua. He gave it over to Yeshua, but not everything was accepted. There was somewhat lost. There was already a Yerida. There's already a lowering of level. Now, Yeshua's, the Canaan's, the Canaan, the Vim, those are all on the same levels. So there's no need to even write any word of giving over. It's mamish, a smooth transition. A complete smooth transition. But then, again, Chaim Blushin explains, Nevi'im, who were prophets on this very high level of Ruach HaKodesh, when they were giving over the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, who some were prophets at the beginning, but ultimately was the first generation that were no longer Nevi'im. So then again, it's Masrua, meaning they gave it over, but not everything was accepted. There was certain parts of Torah that were lost. So that's why we see this Mesorah being given over in different ways, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. But again, like we said before, now the Anshei Knesset Gedolah felt the need to give over some ideas. And this is the first mission. These are the first ideas. Now, Anshei Knesset Gedolah clearly shared many ideas, but these were the three that Chazal felt was important to codify in our Mishnayos. And let's understand these three. First, we have HaMisunim B'Din. What does that mean, HaMisunim B'Din? Now, on a simple level, on a very straightforward level, it's talking to judges who, when they come out with a verdict, they should first be thought out. They should be deliberate. They shouldn't be impulsive and come out with that judgment too quickly. I don't think most of us in this room are going to be a judge. Right? There's that woman who's from judge these days. What's her name again? Pitch Fry. I'm sure many of you have heard her speak. I'm sure she goes around all the girls' schools speaking. We haven't brought her into the yeshivas. I'm not sure. I'm sure she'd be worthwhile. I'm not saying that. But Lemaisa, so maybe you will be a judge. I'm not sure, but she's right on the Supreme Court, right? If I'm not mistaken. Of the state Supreme Court, obviously, yeah. But anyways, Lemaisa, the Mishnah can't just, the opening lesson of Pirkei Avos can't just be talking to a judge. It's talking to each and every one of us when we judge every situation of our lives. To not be impulsive, to be thought out. Impulsivity is destructive and has destructive results. When we're not thinking and we're just doing without thinking, we end up getting ourselves in trouble. And we fall prey to our desires and fall prey to our negative character traits. When we're thought out and we think before we do, so we're going to do what's right because we all want to do what's right. Having misunim bidim, when we judge our lives, we have to be thought out. We have to be deliberate. There's a Rosh Hashiva in YU, a tzaddik, a gadol, Rav Meir Twersky. I don't know any of you, if you've ever heard him speak. But if you haven't, go on, you can go on YU Torah and listen. Better in person, just to see it. It's an amazing, when he gives shir, when he speaks, you feel how every single word is thought out. Like literally every word. Every single word that he gives over is thought out. And well, if we could live our lives in such a way, if our actions and our words are always thought out, we're going to be much better people. And that's the opening word, saying, make sure to be deliberate and thought out as you live your lives. And that's true in our learning of Torah as well. Not to just read something quickly and try to move on, then we're not going to get the depth of it. We're not going to internalize the message of the Torah. We have to be thought out and go slowly when we're learning, when we're speaking, when we're acting. And just to give you a little bit of chizik, I'll tell you something else I was thinking about when I was preparing this to give over to Chashev and Nashim Tzikanios, who are coming of, some of you maybe already are coming soon to the date, to the age of dating, and going to be in that parsha, and you should all be zoichet to have an easy time, b'shatayv mitzlachas, b'ez Hashem Yisbarach. But don't forget something. It's not a race. It's the right person at the right time. Tell all my girl students, if I could find you a guy and you'd be, you know, you'd date and be married in a year from now and you'd have a nice marriage and you'd have nice children and everything would be good. Or I tell you in 3 years from now, to the greatest guy in the world and the greatest children and the greatest marriage, you'd all sign up for the 3-year plan. It's not a race. It's the right person at the right time. But I'll tell you something else in the chizik I want to give each and every one of you. When you're dating, have a mesunim. Be thought out and deliberate, and don't. In dating as well, I feel like it's something in our dar, in our generation, for various reasons, which some of them we understand. There's so much pressure. Sadly, you shouldn't feel that pressure. Kosh Baruch is watching over. You're going to be amazing. But there's so much pressure, and what often sometimes that causes is individuals that are dating very, very quickly and wanting to, quote-unquote, close the deal and get engaged very quickly. L'maisa, you're making the biggest decision of your life. You're dating somebody to see if this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. You're dating someone to see if this is someone that will be your best friend for life, that will be an amazing father to your children, amazing husband to you, who will treat you incredibly your entire life and put you above himself, and you will put him above yourself. You think you're going to figure that out in a month? Because you're having a good time, because things are incredible? It's very nice, halavai. You should have a great time. It should be incredible. But we're not. It's not something that should be done impulsively. It has to be misunim. It has to be thought out. Anything important in life should be thought out, should take time, should ensure that this is emes, this is right, this is what you want and what's best for you. Bez Hashem Yisbarach. So that's the first idea brought down in this Mishnah Perkei Avos. What's the second? From the Anshe in Knesset Agdola. V'amidu talmidim harbe. V'amidu talmidim harbe. You should have many, many students. You should have many students. Now again, the Torah is talking to each and every one of us. I don't know if all of you are going to go into teaching. Maybe some of you will. But my assumption is most of the people that learn Perkei Avos are not becoming rabbeim and not becoming teachers. That's my assumption, because I assume most Jews, Baruch Hashem, learn Perkei Avos, and most Jews are not rabbeim and teachers, right? There are a lot of other beautiful areas of profession out there and important to be a part of, right? So why? You should have a lot of students. What does that mean? So I believe it is talking to each and every one of us. It's talking to each and every one of us to recognize and understand you don't have to be a teacher or a Rebbe to have a lot of students. You have to be an incredible role model. You have to be an incredible person. A person that people look up to. A person that people learn from. a person that people want to emulate. Every one of us can be, whether you go into that world professionally or not, can have many, many students and leave a legacy of teaching, a way of midos, a way of Torah, a way of MS, a way of kirvas alukim. That's why each and every one of you is here. You wouldn't be here in Camp Dina for a summer at this point in your life if you didn't value this line. And it doesn't mean you're going to become teachers. Maybe some of you will, but it means that you value and understand that you could have hashba, you could influence others by being yourself. And that doesn't matter whether you're a counselor or you're a specialty staff or whatever it is, you're interacting with many, many young women and girls who are looking at you, building relationships with you, learning from you, and therefore being your students. And that's something incredible. And why is that so important? Why is that so important? Why is that here, of the second lesson taught in Pirkei Avos? I think it's twofold. Number one, we have to realize when it comes to Talmud Torah, when it comes to learning Torah, look anywhere in the Torah that we learn about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Open up a Rambam that talks about Talmud Torah. It doesn't discuss learning Torah like we're doing right now. What's the language of the Pesukim that teaches about Torah? Vishinantem levanecha, v'limadetem osam espeneichem. All those Pesukim are what? Teaching Torah to others. And if you open up a Rambam when he talks about the mitzvah of Torah, it's all about teaching Torah to others. Of course we have to learn Torah for ourselves to be able to give over Torah to others. To be able to influence others. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us more than anything to care for others and to give to others and to be a role model for others and to be a mashpia on others. But I'll tell you something else. You'll see something for yourselves. When we live our lives knowing and wanting to be role models to others, knowing and wanting to have many talmidot, talmidim, to live our life like that, we'll talk about a Mishnah that says, Aseh Lecha Rav. Most would translate that, Pashut Pshat, and we'll learn about it eventually. You have to make for yourself a Rebbe. Everybody should have a Rebbe, a teacher. People that you learn from, that you go for with Halacha Kshayla, Machshava, just a Derech HaChayim, a way of life. But maybe you could learn those words also. Aseh Lecha Rav. Make yourself into a Rav. We all have to be a Rebbe towards others. And that's so important because that is the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, giving to others, ensuring that there's going to be the next generation who follow Torah Mitzvahs. But additionally, I'll tell you something else. It's the biggest Shemira, biggest protection for yourself. Life is not always so easy when it comes to Ruchnius in every area of life. And those of you that had the schuz to learn in Eretz Yisrael in seminary, such a conducive, incredible environment, you're in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and then you come back to America, and it's not the same. And it doesn't mean you can't be an incredible Bas Torah. You can be, and you will be Bez Hashem Baruch. But it's a lot more effort. And it's not as conducive. You're not with all the same people and all the same influences that you have, and just the Kedusha of the land itself. So we have to take upon ourselves certain aids of certain advice, certain mechanisms to help ensure that we stay strong and that we're the people that we want to be, that we've become, and that we know we can be. One of the greatest aids is Aseh Lecha Rav, be a Rebbe towards others, be a role model. If you think of yourself as a role model towards others and you want to be that person that Va'amidu Talmidim Harve, surely you're going to hold yourself to a different standard. You're not going to allow yourself to fall. So Va'amidu Talmidim Harbe is not just a chizik in giving to others, it's the biggest chizik in ensuring you are who you're supposed to be. And finally, Va'asu Siyag LaTorah. Va'asu Siyag LaTorah makes fences on the Torah. Recognize that in life we need to make fences and protect Torah. Torah mitzvahs is so precious. When something's very precious, we protect it. If you were given, like I'm sure some of you were at different points in your life, from your parents for a special birthday, for a special occasion, a beautiful piece of jewelry. So when you got that piece of jewelry, okay, when you're wearing it, you're wearing it. When you put it away, you probably got it in a nice box and you put it deep in your drawer and you took care of it. Why? Because you want to protect something that's special, we care to protect. The mitzvos are kodesh kedashim, are holy of holy. The mitzvos are nechamad mizavim b'pazrav. They're more precious than gold and silver and diamonds. We have to protect them. How do we protect them? By putting gedar and putting fences around them. to ensure and realize how precious they are, ensure that we don't fall. I'll give you a mashal to understand this. Just to understand. There was once a woman, an older woman, and she went into a svarim store and she wanted to buy a sitter. And she says, "I want a sitter, but I want a sitter with many, many pages before the actual tefillos begin of introduction." So the man says, "What, you're going to learn all this? You're going to read all that? Like, what? Why is that? I have a beautiful sitter. It just came out, a very special sitter, but it doesn't have that. Why is that so important to you?" "I'm not going to read any of it. I'm not going to learn. I just need a sitter to daven." "So why do you need all these pages?" She said, "Because you know how a sitter goes. When you use a sitter and you really use it, so it starts to fall apart. And the pages start to fall out. If I have a lot of pages at the beginning of introduction, what's going to fall out? Which pages? Those pages of introduction. And I'll be left at least with my sitter to daven from. But if I start with Modani, that's going to fall out. And then brachas are going to fall out. I'm going to be left with nothing. Also, sayagul Torah. We have to make a fence around the Torah to protect it. Protect it so we keep it. But also, chas v'sholom lo aleinu, we fall at all. What's going to be broken down? Only that extra fence. And the mitzvah itself will stay strong. Bez Hashem is baruch. We have to realize how precious Torah mitzvah is. And sometimes, you know, what are sayagim? The gzeros midrabanan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our rabbis have given us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that power. Sometimes we think they're a little bit silly. They're only silly because we don't understand. The rabbanan know much better than us. They have einayim, they have eyes that are so special, that see the world and understand the world in the deepest of ways. I'll share one last story. You know, when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, so we're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. So the truth is, there's a lot of reasons why we can't go swimming on Shabbos. And even not getting into any of the practical reasons, it's obviously not Kavod Shabbos and Oinik Shabbos, and not what... The bottom line is, let's say it as it is. It's not what the Rabbanu Shem wants us to be doing on Shabbos. It's that simple. It's that simple, right? Sometimes you don't need to go to the Torah, and to the Poskim, and to your Rebbe. You just say, what does the Rabbanu Shem want from me? It's clear to every one of us, the Rabbanu Shem doesn't want us swimming on Shabbos. That's clear. That's not what Shabbos is for. But there are others brought down in Halacha, and we've been taught, one of the reasons we're not allowed to swim on Shabbos, and I'm sure you've heard this at some point, is because we're afraid you're going to build a raft. It's one of the reasons brought down in Halacha, right? You're afraid you're going to build a raft. And many, you know, specifically going through the teenage years and the high school years, you say, "Rabbi, really? I've swam 1,000 times in my life. I've never built a raft. I'm not going to build a raft. Like, really?" So let me tell you a story that one of my Talmidim told me that he had cousins that lived far away, whatever it was, and they came to stay by him. And these cousins were not religious. They're secular Jews. I'm sure wonderful people, special people. Shabbos Kodesh came, and my Talmud told me, him and his family, they went to shul in the morning. His cousins stayed back. Now he has a pool in his backyard. It was the summer. They get home, they see all the cousins swimming in the swimming pool. Okay, they didn't know better. That's what they did. Okay, not judging them. They didn't tell them not to, whatever it was. But he looks outside and he sees they have a bunch of those like floating rafts that you could lay on in the pool. And he sees his cousin taking like these jump ropes and tying a bunch of them together to make one big raft. His whole life he learned, you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos because maybe you'll build a raft. Here he sees, the first time he sees Jews swimming on Shabbos, and what are they doing? They're building a raft. Now it's true, not every Jew would build a raft. But you know what it is, even one Jew to do something that's usher on Shabbos Kodesh? You know what it is? You know, if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. No Jew blows shofar, and no shul. We miss out on this once a year mitzvah. We do 2 days a year, only one day when it falls out on Shabbos. Why? Because maybe one Jew will carry a shofar without an Erev for a non-mitzvah purpose. We understand what it is to do an Avera, how that affects the whole world. So Vasa Sayagal Torah, we have to fence in the Torah and realize how precious it is. That's the final lesson of this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This opening Mishnah giving us such beautiful ideals and ideas and ways of life. Bez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll continue with the second Mishnah next week, everyone.